Yes, it's time to do what all good investors should do. We're going looking for trouble. We're trying to find spots where earnings and statements are misleading, and we're doing it with David Trainer from New Constructs. Welcome to the Danger Zone. Yes, it's the Danger Zone here on Money Life. This is where we go, like I said, looking for trouble. I mean, and it's not just that that's what they do at New Constructs. No, actually, they look for anything that is out of the realm of where it should be. Anything where you could find things that are misleading. Because they evaluate securities on a scale of most attractive to most dangerous. And what they find is that, well, there are times when you look at something from the top down, the basic numbers that most people are using, and it looks good on the surface, but that beauty's only skin deep.
Is it possible I'm not as attractive as I think I am?
Absolutely. But it also can work the other way. When you go looking to say, make sure there's no trouble, you find something where from the top down, it doesn't look great. But from the bottom up, you find out, wow, it's a lot better. If you want to learn more about how it works, go to newconstructs.com. They're on Twitter at newconstructs. And remember, they blog about all of their Danger Zone picks. So if you want more information on anything we discuss here, you'll be able to find it at their website. David Trainer is president and founder of New Constructs. David, welcome back to the show.
Great to be back, Chuck. Thank you.
Who's in the Danger Zone this week?
Equinix.
Danger, danger.
Equinix. It's ticker symbol EQIX. This is a REIT. And what's the problem here? Is the problem REITs? Is the problem rates? What's going on?
It's both, Chuck. You know, in fact, the real estate sector is really in the danger zone as well. We have done our quarterly analysis of the entire market in terms of the trend in accounting earnings versus economic earnings. And when we're talking about REITs, to be clear, we are talking about funds from operations, FFO. That's the adjusted REIT measure for earnings that people focus on. And Equinix is representative of kind of what's wrong with the entire REIT sector. That is that accounting earnings, or FFO, are positive and rising while the underlying economics of these businesses are negative and declining.
So in the case of Equinix, where it is personifying problems that are bigger, talk about what's wrong and where you find what's wrong so that my audience can maybe check to see if their favorite REITs are in the same position.
Yeah, so in the big picture, you know, we make 30-plus adjustments, right? And Harvard Business School and MIT Sloan are writing a paper that prove that these adjustments are necessary to really understanding earnings, and they warn people against performing analysis on profitability without these adjustments. But the big one, the big takeaway for the real estate sector can be summed up in the fact that the balance sheet's growing faster than the bottom line when it comes to profits. What we're seeing in particular with Equinix, right, is that they're making a bunch of acquisitions that look good when it comes to funds from operations, but when you look at the full picture of the business, we're seeing that those acquisitions are not pulling their economic weight. They're not adding enough in profits to justify their cost. This also has led for Equinix and for the entire sector to negative economic earnings, which means their returns on capital are falling below their cost of capital.
Wow.
And that's regardless of the rise in rates. Yes, cost of capital is going a bit higher, but the decline in the return on capital is greater than the increase in the cost of capital. So even if rates weren't rising, we'd be seeing the same problem.
How out of whack are things? You know, one of the things that you always do a good job of telling us is here's what things are priced for. So let's use Equinix as the example here, because it is the example you're holding out, even though we are saying it could apply to others. How out of whack are we talking?
To justify the current stock price, $385, they'd have to grow profits at 20% compounded annually for nearly a decade, which would mean they'd have to get to a return on capital of about 9 or 10%, which is better than that they've ever earned, right? So basically, they've got to achieve better than ever profitability and sustain that for a significant amount of time. To give you a sense of, you know, what would happen to the stock if they don't achieve that, if we assume that they only grow at, say, 9% compounded annually for a decade, and they get to the ROIC of 7%, which is closer to what they had 4 or 5 years ago, but still not as high as, or high, a bit higher. The stock's only worth $158, or 60% lower than what it is now.
Wow. And is there a logical catalyst when we are in a rate environment like we're at and things along those lines? Is it the standard it's going to be a missed earnings thing or whatever? Or is this a case where, because we know we're in a rate-sensitive industry and we know that rates are on the rise, that's a more likely catalyst here?
Yeah, you know, I think, Chuck, we're in a market again these days, you know, especially with what happened middle to end of last week when Fed Chair Powell said that he was going to ease up on rates a bit, and we saw the entire market swing back to a positive after a lot of negative. I think we're sort of in a market these days where we're kind of macro-driven. People are sort of trying to, or thinking that they're going back to sort of risk on, risk off. And that means the tide is going to probably have as much effect on the level of all the ships as opposed to the seaworthiness of each of those ships. So the catalyst thing is always the billion-dollar question. And so I don't know of one right now for sure, but I'm always, always wary of and hopeful for, you know, investor consciousness being a catalyst. Hey, this is not as good a business as the superficial earnings numbers make it appear to be, because I'm paying attention to the balance sheet as well as the income statement. That to me, you know, at some point in time, because of the technology we have today and the availability of these insights to anybody who wants access, right? Some point in time, investors just start holding companies accountable for these economic facts and not giving them a free pass. And when that day comes, we're going to see a lot of stocks take a tumble.
Yeah. And in the meantime, we're going to try to learn about what stocks are due for a tumble, because even if nobody holds them accountable as they should, eventually the market does. David, great stuff as always. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Chuck. Great to be with you.
That's David Trainer, everybody. And again, the Danger Zone pick, Equinix, EQIX. You can get more information at newconstructs.com and on Twitter at newconstructs, EQIX, but again, the entire real estate sector. All right, we are heading for home on the Monday edition of Money Life. Up next, Neil Mukherjee from Merrill Lynch will be here for our second big interview. Stay with us.
Oh, wow. This is actually pretty dangerous.